Thank you, Pastor Dave. Hi, everybody. How's it going?
Good morning.
Can you believe it? We're here at the end of 2018. The year has gone by so fast, and I just want to tell you that we are so thankful for each and every one of you. Thankful for your participation in our church. So good to have you as part of our family here. Throughout the year, we're thankful for the work of God that you have engaged in, just through your prayers, just through your service, through your giving, through your love. We are truly grateful for all those things. Today, Pastor Greg and I decided to do something a little bit differently today, and we thought we'd come up here and share the pulpit and share with you a few of the lessons that we learned from our own experiences this past year. So that's kind of what we're going to do. We've never done this before, but we thought it'd be a good way to wrap things up. And also, hopefully it'll get you to reflect on your own life and some of the things that you learned this past year, because I think it's always good. It's always good to think about what God has done in your life and be grateful and then even learn from those things. And so that's what we're going to do today. And I want to open up our time in a word of prayer. And I want to ask you to keep 25 of our college students in your prayers because they are in St. Louis even as we speak. They're attending the Urbana Student Missions Conference there. There are thousands of young people there. We sent 25 from our church, and they're there, and they're having I was talking to Joanna last night, and she says, my son hasn't even texted me to let me know how he's doing. She says, I'm heartbroken. That's what college students do, right? They go off, and they don't text their parents. I guess they're having a good time. Have you heard from Kylie, Karen? Oh, you have heard from Kylie. Well, that's good. We did hear one little peep from Kylie and Nally, and so let's pray that God would just stir in their hearts. It's a very powerful time. They'll be there until New Year's Day, and then they'll return home, and then Willie Basilio and Greg Higa are also, who are part of our church, they're in Mexico this week building homes, and so, let's pray for them, that God would protect them and bring them home safely as well, okay? So let's open up our time in a word of prayer, and then we'll jump into today's message we're calling Reflections 2018. Well, Father, thank you so much for gathering us here together today as a church. And it has been quite a year, and we are so grateful and thankful to you for all that you have done in each and every one of our lives. And Father, we're excited that 25 of our students are in St. Louis, Missouri today. And they've been there since a couple days after Christmas, and we'll be there till Tuesday. And Father, we pray that your spirit would stir in the hearts of our 25 students. Of course, we pray for all those students who are there, that you would work a work in their hearts, that they would just have a bigger heart for the world because of what they experienced. We ask, God, for your protection over each and every one of them. We know that the enemy is aware that they're there and hates the fact that they're there and hates the fact that they're being challenged to missions. And we pray, Father, that you would keep the enemy far, far away from each and every one of those students, and that you would give them good health, and that you would keep them strong, and that you would protect them every single moment and everything that they're doing. And we ask that you would work in each and every one of their hearts, that their love for you would grow, and God, bring them home safely to each and every one of our families here on Tuesday. And Father, we also pray for Willie, and we also pray for Greg. God, that we just thank you for their hearts to be willing to spend their holiday down in Mexico building a home for a family that's in need there. And we ask, God, that you would do something really special through their lives. We pray that you would use them to touch the Mexican people. And we pray, God, that they would see the love of Christ through Willie and Greg and protect them and keep them safe and bring them home to us as well. This morning, God, Pastor Greg and I are really excited about this one-day little series, this one-weekend series, and as we reflect on the past year. You've done so much, and you've even challenged us, and it's been hard at times, and we ask, God, that you'd use us, you'd use our lessons, use our experiences to teach the church. So use us this morning, speak to us this morning, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I'll get us started off this morning, and I really appreciated this exercise to take this moment and time to think about the past year. And I don't know if you guys have done this yet, but I don't know for you. For me, when I think about the past year and the things that stick out most, it always tends to go to the big events in my life, which tend to be the most traumatic events. some of the most difficult times. And it's interesting that sometimes our most traumatic events are the times in our life where we experience the greatest growth. And I was thinking back, and I shared with you earlier this year, if you were here earlier this year, about a pretty traumatic event when I had a surf accident. And just in case you didn't know the story, I was surfing with my friend Josh Loon. He's on our tech team here. We were at Huntington Beach, and it was one of the last waves of the session, and I had gone in head first into the water, and I was under the water, and as I was coming back up to the surface, somehow the wave took my board and flung it into my head, and the nose of the board shot straight into my ear. I come up, instantly couldn't hear out of this ear. Everything was spinning around because what apparently happened was it ruptured my eardrum and it threw my equilibrium off, and it was just spinning nonstop. And so what turned out was a ruptured eardrum, and till this day, even as I stand here now, I have just this nonstop ringing in my ear. I know a lot of you guys have tinnitus, and that's what I have, just nonstop ringing, and I still have hearing loss. The doctors say at this point it's permanent. This is your new norm because of the damage and the trauma it's caused to your nerves. And you know, throughout the year, I can't believe that every single weekend there's multiple of you who will come up to me still. Not a weekend passes where multiple people will come up and ask, "How are you doing?" You'll check in with me, and I deeply appreciate that. It just blows me away at how thoughtful and considerate you are as a church, and it really does mean a lot to me. And every time I've been asked that throughout the year, sincerely, I say it's okay. Like, yeah, it's not there. It's not all like it used to be, but I'm okay with that. And I really was, right? Because so many times I've stopped to think about how there are people I know in this community who suffer so much greater in greater ways than I do. I mean, hearing loss, you can live with that. But some people have things that I can't even imagine, right? So I try to have perspective, and it's, you know, I brush it off, and I say, you know, it's not a big deal. But truthfully, you know, in the past probably month or two, only recently has it really, I think, started to bum me out and start to weigh on me, because I think it's starting to really set in that this is my permanent reality. Unless God does a crazy miracle, and I know He can, and I think you guys who are praying for that miracle, probably more faithfully than I have been, unless He does a miracle, though, this is my permanent reality. And it starts weighing on me, things like, you know, just sitting around the dinner table with friends, and that enjoyment is dampened when you miss out on punchlines and you're not fully there and gathering all that's being shared around that table. Or even as my baby, Aranea, is growing up, what if I miss her first words and that moment she says something that she's never said before, or cute things that my kids will say, or even just like the energy it takes, the extra mental energy it takes to engage in a conversation, especially here at church. A lot of what I do is with people, and that mental drain on trying to just be focused on what's being said. So all of this, it's small, but it chips away, and it starts to weigh on me. And so with this hearing loss, as I've been reflecting on it, there's a lot of things that I've learned throughout this year. If there's one thing I can share with you, here's lesson number one. I'd love for you to write this down on your notes if you care to, but lesson number one would be this: don't take God's gifts for granted. Don't take God's gifts for granted. And I use that word gifts very intentionally, right? Because I think sometimes it's easy to assume or even feel entitled to the things that we have. Yeah, I have two eyes and I have two ears. I have a nose and a mouth. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm able to sit. I'm able to stand. I'm able to walk. I'm able to run, of course. I'm able to get married and have kids. Who doesn't? I'm able to get a job, make some money. And if that's naturally true of your life and that's assumed in your life, I hope you realize that may not be so natural for someone else. Maybe you can't assume that for the person next to you. And if you have that, that's because God has blessed you and He has given that to you as a gift. Sometimes we can be so entitled to the things that we have that if it were ever to be taken away, we sometimes get mad at God. God, how can you take this away from me? When in reality, it was given to you as a gift. It's a blessing by God's grace. And so we ought to really be thankful. Don't take these things for granted. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I want to read this to you, verses 16 and 18. It's typically a verse that we would read over Thanksgiving. But how appropriate at the end of the year as we reflect. Here's what Paul commands in 1 Thessalonians 5. He says this. He says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks in all circumstances, always, always be thankful. And I think one of the ways we can combat this attitude of taking things for granted is to live a life of being thankful. And I think when we see this verse and it says give thanks in all circumstances, I tend to think about how do we show thankfulness? Well, we say, God, thank you, right? We tell him thank you. And we pray prayers of thanksgiving. And I think that's good and we should do that. But I'd like to suggest another way we can show sincere thanks. And that's by how we intentionally care for the gifts that he's given us. It's really thankfulness as an attitude, thankfulness as an action, thankfulness as a lifestyle, more than just thankfulness as words. It's how we care for it. Right, for example, this past Christmas, my kids, they got gifts and they opened it on Christmas morning. And you could tell right away which gifts they don't really care about. They don't really appreciate. And it breaks your heart when they rip open these gifts that you got them. They rip it open, they look at it, and then they throw it on the floor. And you could tell by that night, they don't care for it because they don't pick it up. They don't put it away. As a parent, that breaks your heart. And yet there are gifts. Like for example, my daughter got this gift. She opens it and blah, like her eyes open up, her face glows, and you could tell she loves this gift. How did I know that she was thankful for this? Well, the next day, December 26, I take the kids for a bike ride. We go to the park, and she's got this toy strapped to her. Right, she's got this toy strap. She goes on the slide, she's got the toy with her. She goes on the swing, she's got the toy with her. We're riding around this 5-acre park, she's got it strapped to her waist. Right, and after about an hour playing in the park, we're heading home and she notices a piece of her toy fell off. She says, Daddy, it's missing. And so she asked me, she says, Daddy, can you go back and look for it? She said she wanted me to trace our steps and our bike path for the past hour to find this. And because she's my princess, I go, yes, master. And I go looking for it. And we found it. We go home. We bring it home. And there's a smudge. And I'm bathing it in the sink for her. And she puts it nicely in her room. I can tell how thankful she is for this gift by how intentional she is with it. And I think we can do the same in a similar way. The way we show thankfulness to God for the gifts he's given us is how we care for it, how we steward the gifts he's given us. Right? In the Bible, this idea of biblical stewardship is this idea, it's really this perspective that I think can combat this attitude of taking things for granted. When we realize, hey, what I've been given has actually been gifted to me, and really, it's not even mine. Psalms 24, verse 1 says this. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. And the overarching idea here is that everything in this world, everything in my life, everything on my body has been given to me for the time being. And if it's been given me for the time being, how can I use it for his purposes, knowing that at any moment it can be taken away? It's not guaranteed it can be taken away. It's not mine, so I should cherish it and I should care for it well. I should give attention to it and be intentional with it. And so I want to ask you, what is it that you have? Maybe it's the abilities of your body parts. Maybe it's the abilities through your talents and giftings. Maybe it's the ability you have because of your material resources, your money, your house, your car. These are all abilities, gifts that we've been given. How can I care for it well and not take it for granted? So through this surf injury, I've learned to cherish every body part I have. I've learned to cherish my hearing. And one way I'm being intentional now is I want to protect my ears as much. So when I go surfing now, I always wear ear protection now. I will always wear it. Why? Because I want to protect the hearing that I have left in my left ear and make sure I don't lose the hearing in my right ear. So with this ear protection, I'm trying to prevent future trauma in case another accident happens again. Or also there's this other thing that happens in surfers. We get this thing called surfer's ear, right? This bone growth that starts to develop because of the cold water. And over time, if you don't care for it, it's going to clog up your ears. And then you have to get surgery and get it drilled out. And I'm like, I love hearing now. I love it. And so I will protect it. What has God given you in your life? What do you have in your life that God has given you? How can you steward it well? Realizing that God has given you these gifts to use for his purposes, and at the same time realizing it can be taken away. It can be taken away at any moment. Is it your money? Is it your ability to influence others? Is it your position at your workplace? Is it your house? Is it your athleticism? Is it your analytical skills? Is it your voice? What is it that God's given you, and how can you care for it, steward it while you have it? So that's lesson number one I would share with you. Don't take God's gifts for granted. He has blessed you. Take care of it well.
That's good. It's good. Swimmer's ear, is that what you call it? Surfer's ear?
Yeah.
Surfer's ear. Getting in an accident. I thought you were going to say the first lesson was don't go surfing. Anyways.
No, that's from the devil. But
end of August, a few days before Labor Day weekend, I got a call from my mom telling me that she didn't feel well. And I don't know if you know my mom. She is 91 years old. She lives alone in a mobile home park in Harbor City. So I went over there, took her to the doctors. The doctor said that she had some kind of an intestinal virus of some sort and sent her home. Well, the next day, her condition worsened, and she couldn't even stand. And so I said, this is not good. So I called the paramedics. They picked her up and took her to ER. And they admitted her, and it turned out, they diagnosed her a few days later, it turned out that she had salmonella poisoning. So she was hospitalized for a week, and then she was discharged to rehab for two more weeks after that. And we had never seen her so sick in our entire lives. She's always been really, really healthy. And so she was there, and she slowly got better, but we realized, my brother and I realized, that this was going to be different. It was going to be different for her from here on out, that she wasn't going to be the same. And so we realized, too, that she couldn't live by herself any longer at 91 years old. So after a lot of meetings and a lot of phone calls, we were able to get her into an intermediate care facility in Los Angeles, which would allow her to be cared for, but also allow her to have a degree of independence. And so that was good. So began the agonizing process of transitioning her into her new home. And I got to tell you, it was one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do, because it meant that we would have to uproot her from the only life that she had ever known. Living, you know, before the mobile home, she lived in a home with my dad and in Santa Fe Springs. But think about this: her whole life is revolves around living in her home, and that's where everything is. And so it required us to transition her from there into a hospital-like setting with a roommate that she had never met before. And in this mobile home were all her memories, all of her possessions, everything that she had ever had packed away into that place. And now the only thing that she could take with her were a few personal possessions and only enough clothes that would fit into a couple of small drawers and a small closet. Everything else had to be left behind. All of her furniture, all of her clothing, nearly all of her clothing, all of her beautifully framed, embroidered artwork, all of her beautiful Japanese porcelain dolls, all of her jewelry, all of the antiques that she and my dad had collected over these many decades, all of her dishes, all of her photo albums. I mean, everything had to be left behind. And then when she asked me, do I have to live there the rest of my life? It was like a knife, you know, just getting stabbed into your heart. It was just so painful. And so the process was so gut-wrenching for me and my brother. And move-in day was September the 25th, just recently. Move-in day was September 25th. And I tried to be upbeat. I put on my game face, and I tried to be upbeat for my mom. But inside, I was crying the whole time. Now, she's been there a little more than 3 months now. And I'm happy to report that she's doing really well. She's adjusted really well, much more quickly and much better than we ever imagined. She's made a lot of new friends. She's gained weight, and she's really happy to be there. She's enjoying the interaction, and we didn't realize how social she was. And then she's also able to come to church every weekend, and she'll be here later today. But we're just so thankful. Now, I didn't necessarily learn anything new from this experience, but it did reinforce for me what I had always known from Scripture, and that is that we can't take the things that we have with us. We can't take anything with us when we die, when this world is gone. We can't take anything with us. And I'm reminded of that in 1 Timothy 6:7, if you want to look at that. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world." If you want to underline, we cannot take anything out of the world. We can't take anything out of the world. And King Solomon, who, according to 1 Kings 10:23, was the richest king in the world at the time that this was written, said this in Ecclesiastes 5:15, "As he came from his mother's womb, he shall go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil that he may carry away in his hand." You can underline that. Shall take nothing. We shall take nothing out of this world. We came in the world with nothing. We came in the world naked, and that's exactly how we're going to leave. And it doesn't matter how hard you toil, it doesn't matter how much money you make, you can't take anything with you. And the Bible makes it perfectly clear that when you die, that's it. You can't take a thing with you. And so this was such a sobering experience, an exercise for us to have to go through my mom's stuff and figure out what few things she could take. I mean, she could still take a few things with her. One day when she's gone, she won't be able to take anything with her. But it was a sobering exercise to have to go through her things and say, okay, what can she take? What can she not take? What do we have to leave behind? And when I was combing through her things, I came across this windbreaker that she had saved from my childhood. I wore this when I was 10 years old. When I played Little League Baseball, when I was 10 years old, played for a team called the Higashi Yankees. Pastor James loves the fact that it was Yankees because he's a Yankee fan. I hate the Yankees. But I love the Higashi Yankees. And you can see it's faded and everything like that. And she saved it. And I just thought, oh, wow, I can't believe she saved my windbreaker. And so I couldn't throw this away. So I saved it with me, and I brought it home. I told my daughters that if one of them blesses me with a grandson, I'm going to give it to him to wear. And they said, oh, no, you're not. So, thanks a lot. And one day, so here's the thing. One day, my daughters, and maybe Cheryl will be there too, but one day my daughters are going to go through all my stuff. And they're going to decide what they're going to do with all my stuff. And my guess is when they come to the windbreaker, it's not going to make the cut, right? And if it somehow makes the cut, maybe their kids one day, my great-grandkids will look at this and go, wow. Or my grandkids will look at this and go, wow, look at this. This looks like it's from the Middle Ages. What is this? Throw it away, and they're going to toss it. And so it's sobering. It's so sad if you think about it. It's so sad that not only will we not take anything with us when we die, but everything we own, if it doesn't get thrown away, everything we own will end up in someone else's hands. Someone else will end up owning everything we have. That's a sobering thought. I mean, let that one sink in for a second. One day, all of my clothes, one day, all of my Star Wars action figure, my lightsaber, my angel's jersey, my wedding ring, his surfboards, my watch, all of it, if it isn't thrown away, it's going to be owned by somebody else. It's going to be given to somebody else. So what's the lesson? Don't hold on to things too tightly. Don't hold on to things. Don't be possessive. You can write that one down. Don't be possessive of the things that you have, because you can't take anything with you, and one day when you're gone, it's going to be owned by somebody else if it isn't thrown away. We only have temporary custody of the things in our lives. So open your hand and hearts and be willing to share what you have with others. And you will find that what Jesus said was true in Acts 20:35. You'll find it to be true when you give, that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And I would add, don't wait until you're dead for someone else to have your stuff. Start giving it away now. That's something that my parents taught me. I learned another lesson similar to this one about a month and a half ago. The home that we live in Carson is approaching 40 years. I think it's about 40 years. It's getting old like me, and it's beginning to fall apart like me. And so we decided, after living there for over 25 years, that let's remodel the kitchen, because the kitchen cabinets are just, they're beginning to fall apart. They're old and dilapidated. And the dishwasher stopped working a long time ago, and Cheryl is getting tired of using the Coleman stove to cook our food and the Coleman lantern to light our house. So we went out and got a loan from the bank, and I asked Willie Basilio, who's on our Mexico trip this week, but he's an architect, and I asked him if he would just kind of come up with some plans for our kitchen. And then we asked Jim Harms, who is a contractor who attends our church. He was here last night to do the construction work on that. And these two guys are absolutely amazing. They are awesome. If you ever need work done on your house, think about talking to them. We can't recommend them highly enough. Willie is available anytime, but Jim, I'm sorry, you cannot talk to him until after he's done with our house. So if you want his number, I'll give it to you after he's done, and then you can call him up. But he's been absolutely amazing. But to make a long story short, our little kitchen remodel turned into a dining remodel and a living room remodel and a family room remodel and a bathroom remodel and an outside remodel and all these kinds of things, which means I'm going to have to work here. I was ready to retire. I'm going to have to work here until I'm my mom's age to pay off the loan, right? Well, the week before demolition was set to begin, which was about a month ago, it's been out of a month now. The week before it was set to begin, Jim came in and said, okay, all right, this has all got to go. I mean, everything is, we're going to come in and we're going to demolish this whole thing. And so everything in here has got to go. I mean, everything has got to go. You're talking about all the furniture has got to go, the TV set, the cable box, everything in the kitchen, all the food inside the cabinets, the refrigerator, all the appliances, all the wall hangings, all the drapes, all the curtains, all the knickknacks, all the cups, all the dishes, all the utensils, all the plastics, everything has got to go so that we can come in here and start doing the work. And so we thought, oh, wow, this is crazy. So we started in one room at a time. We started in it, and we just thought, this is going to take forever. I mean, it's going to take forever. You're talking about 25 years worth of stuff that we had to clear out of this place, right? For example, do you know what this is, right? Most of you know what this is. It's tofu. You can go to Ralph's or Albertson's in the deli section, and they've got tofu. We love tofu, right? So, but what I love about tofu the most is the container. So after we take out the tofu, I saved the container. I've shared this before years ago, I use the container to microwave food, but I use it to eat my cereal for breakfast every single morning. And I eat the same Trader Joe's maple granola cereal every single morning, 365 days a year. That's what I'll have, and I'll eat it out of my little tofu container. Well, Cheryl was going through our stuff in the kitchen, and she found 25 of my tofu containers, and she threw them all away. I was so mad. I was, what do you mean, all right, sure? I was so mad. And this process of going through our stuff reminded me of what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6. Take a look at it, starting in verse 19. He said, do not lay up for yourselves tofu containers. No, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that's what this reminded me of when we were going through all our stuff. And what we see in this passage is a negative command and a positive command. The negative command is, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. That's the negative command. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. In other words, don't accumulate stuff. Don't accumulate stuff because none of it lasts. It will all burn up. It will all, even like my jacket, it will all just start fading away after a while and it won't be worth anything. And we have so much stuff, don't we? We have so much stuff and we do this and Jesus said, don't do it. That's the negative command. The positive command is lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. What does that mean? It means that instead of accumulating stuff, give it away. Give your stuff away. Specifically, laying up your treasures in heaven means give with an eye toward advancing the kingdom of God. Give with an eye toward spiritual things that will last after you're gone. Give it to eternal causes. Support a missionary. Support the mission or the ministry of your church. Feed the poor. Those kinds of things. And so this exercise just really opened up my eyes in a fresh new way that I should give more instead of accumulate stuff, amass stuff for myself. Author Randy Alcorn said that the greatest deterrent to giving, you know, I think some of us have a problem with that, right? But because we don't want to give. The greatest deterrent to giving is the illusion, he said, that the earth is our home. I think he's right. We think this is our home. We think this is our church home, this building right here. It's not. We're just passing through. And one of these days we're going to be gone. This is not our real home. Heaven is our real home. And therefore we ought to give with an eye toward heaven. And that's why I love what Paul said in Colossians 3:2. He said, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Just keep looking up, church. Just keep looking up and give.
Yeah, as you listen to Pastor Gary share his reflections and my earlier reflection, there seems to be a theme here. And the theme is things can be taken away from us. Things can be taken away. In fact, everything at one point will be taken away. Some things matter and some things don't matter as much. And if I were to share one more lesson, lesson number 4, it would be don't take people for granted, right? Don't take people for granted. Another major takeaway is not to take the people in our lives for granted because we realize that even people can be taken away or people can walk away. I shared with you earlier this year another traumatic event in my life in the past year, and I shared pretty openly with you about how the tension between ministry and marriage in my home was pretty high. There was this tension. And, you know, I shared in that message that it came to a point where I wanted to walk away from ministry so that I could walk away from my marriage. Because I knew that if I walked away from my marriage, I would lose my ministry anyway. And it was that intense. And, you know, in all fairness, I know you guys only get to hear from me. You don't get to hear the things my wife has gone through. So there's always two sides of the story. And there are so many flaws that I had to work through. But that was something I went through. And God taught me a lot through that as well. And so this past week, my heart was stirred as I was listening to this podcast. There's this interview with this pastor. His name is Pastor Craig Jutila, right? And he was talking about how at one point in his life, he was like celebrated as this influential ministry leader. He was the children's ministry leader at Saddleback, which is one of the largest churches in the nation. So under him, he was overseeing 4,500 kids. That's bigger than most churches in the U.S. He was in charge of organizing 1,600 volunteers. He had one of the most successful ministries in our nation, and he would work these 60-hour weeks, he said, and he would never take a day off. And then he said this very interesting thing. He says, in America, workaholism is one of the most rewarded addictions, right? Because the more you work, the more you get rewarded, and you get glorified, and you get praised, and you get promoted, and you get applauded, and it just wants to make you work more. And he says, that was my life. And he says one day he was at home, and his wife and his kids were out at the grocery market, and so he was tidying up the living room, noticed there's things on the couch, so he's cleaning under the couch, and he found a book, and it turned out to be a journal, his wife's journal. He says he happened to open it, no particular order, just wherever it fell. And he said the first words at the top of the page were the words, "I hate my husband." And his jaw dropped, and he couldn't help but keep reading on, hoping that this was going to get better. There's a happy ending to this. And he said, as I kept reading, it just kept getting worse. He says, when my wife came home, he said, man, I had some words for her. And he says, we had a conversation, and it wasn't pretty. And basically, she gave him an ultimatum. She said, you go to counseling, and let's fix this, or I'm out. I'm walking away. And she shared that it was in this crisis in his family that God had to just grab a hold of his heart and show him that he had been taking his family for granted. And that emotion that he read in that journal was coming out of a disdain for a husband who was so committed to his work, to his ministry, which was saving kids for the kingdom of God, but it was at the expense of his wife and his children at home. He had taken his family for granted. And he shared how he had to learn to now care for these relationships that God has given him, the gift of relationship, his family. And against his will at first, he agreed to go to counseling. He said, I fought it. I did not want to spend the time. I did not want to spend the money. But through numerous hours of counseling with his wife and the counselor, and through developing boundaries for his life and for his ministry, and rebuilding the relationships in his home, by God's grace, God was able to redeem his family. To the point where they came to a very healthy place where he and his wife wrote a book called From Hectic to Healthy. It was a book they wrote together, and they shared their story, and they've shared it often to people to encourage them to live a life that's God-glorifying, that's balanced and healthy, and puts Jesus at the center by God's grace. Here's lesson number four. If you haven't written it down already, I want you to write it down. Don't take people for granted. Don't take people for granted, because nothing in life is guaranteed, and no one in life is guaranteed. They can be taken away or they can walk away. You know, if we were to bring all the pastors up here, I'm sure they would have very meaningful reflections to share with you as well. And if Pastor Dave were up here, I'm pretty sure he would come up here and he would share how this year, 2018, started off as probably one of the best years of ministry in his life. I mean, here he is growing in his influence and his role as a pastor here at the church. He's in his early 40s. He was engaged to get married. He was going to lead a mission team to Uganda to share the love of Jesus. And things were really good. And it was actually in preparing for that mission trip to Uganda, he went to get a physical. And then he shared with us how results came back and he was diagnosed with tongue cancer. And when he shared that with us, I mean, our hearts broke. Our hearts dropped. And just like that, he had to cancel his trip to Uganda. And just like that, with that cancer came concerns of how is my speech going to be affected? Much of what I do and much of who I am and much of my identity is found in me speaking and me talking to people. He shared that. He said there were concerns of, will I be able to get married as scheduled? And if we go on with the show, like, you know, am I going to be able to talk at my own wedding? Will I even be able to say the words, I do, to my bride? And all these things, all of a sudden, came crashing upon him. And all of us on staff, like I said, we were crushed by this news. I mean, there were tears shed in our office. There were tears shed. And yet the reality hit us that none of us, Pastor Gary, myself, none of us sitting here, none of us are exempt from being hit with tragedy. I shared with you guys just a moment ago, Pastor Craig Jutila, and by the grace of God, he learned how important people in his life were. And thank God that God grabbed a hold of his heart before it's too late to help him to see that his wife and his children are gifts to him. They're people in his life that matter most. Praise God that he was able to work on that and get that right into a healthy place. This past week, their church in Northern California, big church, they had their big Christmas services, and he was hosting them all, and he's the family and teaching pastor at Adventure Christian Church. And after all those services, on December 26th, they got to get away as a family. They went to Lake Tahoe to get some quality time together. Here's a picture of Pastor Craig. And the next picture is them skiing together, just to spend some quality time. Our hearts are broken when we hear on Thursday, this just a couple days ago, that Pastor Craig passed away while on the slopes. That as he was there and his wife was catching up to him, she found him unconscious. And just like that, passes from this earth. I want to ask us as a church community, let's keep Pastor Craig's family and his church family in prayer. I know you probably haven't met people from that church, but they are the body of Christ. They are our family, our brothers and sisters. But we pray for them, and it's just a sobering reminder of what James taught us. Remember just a few weeks ago in the book of James, our sermon series, James chapter 4, I want to read it again, but verse 13 says this. It says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. You know, as Pastor Gary and I were talking and just reflecting, and you know, we were talking this past week about Pastor Dave's cancer. We hear news about Pastor Craig's passing. One thing we agree on is that disease and death are no respecters of persons, right? It doesn't matter if you're far from God or you're close to God. It doesn't matter if you're an atheist or you're a pastor. It doesn't matter if you're old and frail or if you're young and vibrant. It doesn't matter. None of us are exempt. Anybody can be taken. Nothing is guaranteed. Our hearing isn't guaranteed. Our health isn't guaranteed. Our breath isn't guaranteed. There are things in this life that matter for a long period of time. Some things for eternity. And then there are things that don't matter as much. And our heart is to urge you, church. Our heart is to urge you to hold loosely to things that don't really matter. Grab hold and hold it tightly. Hold tightly the things that do matter. Invest in those things, care for those things. And I'll say this, people matter. People do matter. So how can you make moments that matter with the people that matter? And maybe it's your teenager that you need to start going on dates with. And maybe it's that aging parent that you've taken for granted. Maybe it's that brother or sister that you realize you did not talk to enough. Maybe it's your life group that God's given you and you've been flaky with them and I just need to stop being flaky with them. Maybe it's the ministry that God's entrusted to you, the team that you realize you need to invest more time into and effort into. Don't take people for granted. If there's something you want to say to them, say it. If there's time you want to spend with them, spend it. If there's somewhere that you've been wanting to go with that person, go there. If there's a prayer you want to pray over them or to pray with them in the name of Jesus. How can we in this coming year Among all the gifts God has given you and given us, I mean, we have this community right here. Among all the gifts, he's given you people. So how can we spend this year to be intentional with them and care more for each other so as not to take the gifts nor the people God has given us for granted? So that would be lesson number four. Don't take people for granted.
Pastor. That's a good word. It's so it's been very sobering for us. We get to hear things that the entire congregation aren't going to hear. We'll get those calls. We'll get those emails. We'll get those text messages of some of the tragedies that will take place. And we realize, we hear this all the time. And it just makes us realize how short life is, what really matters and what doesn't matter. And that was our heart to share with you today. I think that Solomon nailed it when he said in Ecclesiastes 1:2, your final verse, he said, "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity." I think he was right. In other words, everything is empty. Everything is meaningless. Life is just a breath. That's what the word vanity means in Hebrew. It means breath. Everything is just a breath. Your life will be over in an instant. Even pastors will be gone in an instant. So don't take what God has given you for granted. Don't take the people in your life for granted. Don't take your health for granted. Don't take the little things for granted. Cherish them. As Pastor Greg said today, go to your loved ones and tell them today. Give them a hug and tell them that you love them. Don't hold on to your possessions too tightly. Don't be an amasser or an accumulator of stuff. You can't take it with you. And don't wait until you're dead to give it away. Start giving it away now. Be a giver and give to the things that will last on after you. Store yourselves treasures in heaven. And more than anything else, hold on to Jesus. Hold on to Jesus, because he is the only relationship, the most important relationship that you could ever have. He's the only relationship that really matters in this life. Pastor Greg and I could say, and I know this, Pastor Dave and Pastor James and Caleb, and everyone, we can all say that we couldn't have made it through this year without him. Amen. Couldn't have made it through all the things that we had to go through without Jesus. You see, after everything is stripped away, after everything is taken away from us, when you stand before God, it's just going to be you and him. That's it. We're not going to be there with you. Your mom and dad aren't going to be there with you. Your spouse is not going to be there with you. When your heart beats for the last time, it's just going to be you and him and not your stuff. It's just you and him. So hold on to Jesus, because he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last, the beginning and the end, Revelation 22:13. He is the author and perfecter of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. He is wonderful counselor. He is mighty God. He is everlasting Father. He is Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. He is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He is my life.
Jesus is my Lord of Lords, and he's King of Kings. Amen. He is our deliverer. He is the good shepherd, and he leads us through that valley of the shadow of death. Jesus is the great high priest. Because of his sacrifice, he brings us near to God. Jesus is the head of the church. He is the lead pastor here at South Bay Community Church.
Jesus is my friend. He calls us friend. Amen. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He came to be with us. He is the light of the world, and he is the light of my world. He is the mighty one. He is the one who has set me free from sin and bondage and death.
Jesus is our hope. I know he's been my hope all year long. He is my peace, both within me and within my marriage and my family and within our staff and our church. Jesus is my strength and my song. Jesus is my all in all. Jesus is my redeemer, and he's your redeemer, and he's redeemed us all by the cross.
He is my rock. When everything has been shaking, and everything is shaking underneath me, when everything is like sifting sand, He is my rock. He is my Savior. He has saved me from my sins for all eternity. He is the Son of the Most High God. Amen. He is the Word of God, and He is the victorious one. He is the conqueror, which is why we will conquer, because He is our conqueror.
Amen. Jesus is the resurrected one. Amen, church? He is the resurrected one, and He is the resurrected one because He was first the crucified one. We learned last week that Jesus came. He was born so that Jesus could die. And He was crucified so that He could be resurrected to give us hope, to give us life, to give us something to look forward to. So as we close this service and we close this year, what a good way to come and remember the crucified and the resurrected one. God tells us it's good to remember. He always says it. Remember that the Lord is good. Remember that the Lord saves. Remember that I am God. So it's good to remember and to reflect on all that He's done for us and the ways He's revealed Himself to us. And as we remember and reflect, we want to come together as a church. And Jesus also said, remember me. And on that night when He was about to be betrayed, Luke tells us that He's sitting with His disciples. And if any of you are a disciple of Jesus, you're a follower of Christ because you believe by faith, He would say this to you too. He took that bread and He broke it. And He says, this is a symbol of my body that was broken for you. He says, eat it in remembrance of me. And then He poured out the wine and He gave it each to, gave one to the disciples to drink. And He says, as I pour this, this is a symbol of the new covenant. My blood that's being shed for you. Drink this in remembrance of me. And so as a church, he has taught us and He has commanded us to do this often. So today we want to remember all that He's done, but then we look up and we remember that He has resurrected and that He is coming again. That's who Jesus is. So I want to invite you guys in just a moment, we'll pray over this. Come forward, we have stations all around the room. We have a table in the back that's gluten-free. If you need gluten-free, it's back there. But just come up and let's worship. Let's respond to Jesus. And when you're done, you can deposit the little cups in the waste baskets around the room. And as Pastor Dave mentioned earlier, this is also a time of offering because offering is worship as well. And so the offering baskets won't go around. They'll just be up here and you can just put your Connect cards or your offerings up in the front. But let's do that, okay? If you need help, raise your hand. If you can't get up for whatever reason, our ushers will come and bring it to you. If you guys are in the lobby or the family room and you want to come in, we welcome you to come in and let's worship together. Or you can stay where you are. That's fine as well. They'll come to you as well. But let's pray and let's give our hearts in worship. And Lord, we thank You so much that You have given us the ability to look back on the year and to remember. Even that is a gift. And so Lord, we pray that as we reflect, even in the most difficult times and the times of struggle or trial, the times of victory and triumph, that in all those that You would reveal to us that Your hand was always there. Your hand was always holding us in your grips. That You're always moving in our lives, even when we didn't see it. Lord, we thank You so much that 2,000 years ago, You sent Jesus to be born so that He could die. And He didn't just die, He rose from the grave. That means He's coming again. And so we want to remember Your death. We want to remember Your blood that was shed. So we eat this bread, we drink this cup, and we praise You with all that we have. This is the hope that we have. Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the victorious one. Thank You, God. We love You so much, and we pray in Jesus' name.